Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming on BBS Radio from California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally and numerous podcast platforms, including iTunes, iHeart, and Podopolo. I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silva. If we haven't met, my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity, and I do that by showcasing amazing women, women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, from a point of chaos to confidence, risen to success, and are now making a huge contribution, both in their community locally and often globally as well. Now, as a female founder and entrepreneur, a certified executive coach and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of people find excellent career choices, and in the last 10 years in particular, supported senior women to excel in their leadership and especially in evolving their confidence. So today, I'm lucky enough to work as a coach and mentor to mission-inspired entrepreneurs and conscious leaders, those special women who are ready to flourish in business and often struggle with self-doubt and being heard in a man's world. I help them master their confidence, find their authentic voice, so they can negotiate what they want, which is often make more sales and grow their team for a sustainable business that's also fun and successful. And I believe that with enhanced communication skills, women can authentically lead, we can expand and engage and have a vibrant business and also have balance as female entrepreneurs and be great role models, leaving a legacy for our children. So today, I'm excited to be joined by my beautiful guest, Mariko Frederick. Mariko, are you on the line with me?
Hello, I'm here. Thank you for having me today.
You are welcome. So I met Mariko through Susie Carter, who is also a previous guest on the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show through the Global Leadership Program. And Mariko Frederick is an incredible woman. She's going to share a fascinating story with you. And I know I've already been asked already, well, what's it like to die? And so we'll get to that part. But just by way of introduction, because there's a lot to share here, Mariko is a dynamic transformational speaker. She's an expert on aligning business with the spiritual path, and she will share her very unique and special journey on how she comes to be doing that work. In 2003, she did have a near-death experience, and she was actually sent back here with the very unusual gift of being able to, what she describes as, uncover your true calling and see the assignment in your on your life as well as your path to abundance. Now, in her work, I mean, she works with incredible men and women. She's worked with Olympic and professional athletes. She's worked with CEOs of 7- and 8-figure businesses. In her work serving as a spiritual healer and a high-performance coach and also as a speaker. And I know that she's also got a book coming out too next year. I think it's January, a book about the afterlife. And so working with entrepreneurs is a passion for both of us. For you, it's aligning their business with their spiritual path. For me, it's about helping them to continue on that journey to elevate their confidence, work with them, ask for what they want so they can actually have that goal achieved. So I'm delighted that you're able to join me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I've also gotten to work with you.
You have, yes. Now, let's not share too much here.
No.
Whereabouts are you calling in from today?
San Diego, California.
Okay, so it's probably sunnier down there than it is up here. I am at the base of the Rocky Mountains in Calgary, Alberta, in Canada, and it's about 10 degrees today. So we're still getting snow melting. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. That's cold.
Well,
I think it's in the 60s, and I'm actually wearing a sweater because I'm cold. So you would be in shorts.
It does get to minus 30 here sometimes in the winter, which is why, one of my items on my vision board is a sunny second location to be at some point moving to in the winter time, but not today. So today we're going to dive into your story. So I know that you're also the founder and CEO of Soul Priority, which is your business and spiritual development company, really dedicated to helping professionals and entrepreneurs turn that, what you call higher purchase, into higher profits, and also board certified with the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine in Asian Bodywork Therapy. So tell me how this got started. I know you had Lyme disease, but I'm not sure if that's the beginning of the story that is so intriguing, that showcases your rise from tragedy to triumph. No, let's get it the right way around. Tragedy to triumph.
I guess, you know, I never thought of it that way, but I suppose it was the start. It's not the start of the story, but yeah, I had been hiking in the mountains when we also lived in the mountains in the Sierras, and I saw a tick crawling down my arm, and it was small, so I didn't think a thing of it. I brushed it away, and a few weeks later, I didn't feel well. And my neck really hurt, and I was just so stiff, and I was just drained of energy. And so I went to somebody that I trusted who practiced alternative medicine, and she gave me a treatment. And I don't get into this story too much, but long story short, turns out she was not educated. She had not certified and was ordering equipment through somebody else's license. And that's how actually I was injured to the point of having a near-death experience. And so I suppose it was that tick bite that where I actually did contract Lyme disease and didn't know it I didn't know it for 3.5 years that really started this whole thing.
Wow. So with Lyme disease, I think it's one of those weird things that a lot of times doctors do not see right away. They misdiagnose it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened to me, unfortunately. You know, and I think the other thing, in all fairness, because the first doctor I went to, I really respect him, and he did try very hard. He had seen me 5 weeks after I had my near-death experience. And so in that moment, he actually was looking at the bullseye rash on my arm where I'd been bitten. But I had so much going on that he missed it. And also, as the universe would have it, he had also had a near-death experience. And so the conversation wasn't about the neck pain and the flu-like symptoms I had had and the funny-looking, you know, bullseye rash on my arm. It was about the death experience. And so, you know, had he discovered it in that moment, I think my life would have taken a very different turn. But as it happened, neither one of us really, you know, knew about it. And it was 3.5 years later that it had gone to my brain, and I was having a lot of neurological problems, that a doctor finally did say, oh my gosh, she said, didn't you have a rash at one point? And I said, yeah. Well, actually, by then I was slurring my speech. Turns out I was having mini strokes. And all I could say was circle, dot. And it clicked for her that it was the bullseye rash and I had Lyme disease.
Wow. So with the near-death experience, let's dive into that. And while you're sharing your story, for those listeners who are listening to the show live, and I'm sure we'll have questions, this is the number that you can dial into to speak to Mariko or myself. So jot this number down. It's 1-888-627-6008. And if you're dialing from Canada and for some reason 1-888 number doesn't work, the other alternate number is 701-719-4207. And I'll give those numbers out again a little bit later. Thanks, Mariko. So tell us the story. What happened with the near-death experience?
So I was home when it happened, which was, it's funny because I had worked in hospitals, and, you know, I was young when I worked in hospitals, and it just never occurred to me that someone could just actually have that experience at home. And so I was lying in bed, and I didn't feel good at all, and I didn't know what was wrong, but something was wrong. You know when you're sick and you know something's really wrong? Well, it didn't occur to me to go to the hospital, but I knew something was very wrong, and so I lied down. I was in tremendous pain, and just lying there in pain, and I remember breathing got really hard. It felt like I had a weight on my chest, like a huge weight, and I remember my experience of just feeling like I was lifting that weight up and letting it fall, and lifting it up and letting it fall, and I was so tired, and at one point I thought, I think I'll let it fall. And when I did, I exhaled. And that's, in that moment, I sort of knew that I was not going to stay living, but I also knew that I wasn't dying. It was an interesting thing. And in that moment, the first thought in my head was, wow, it's kind of funny, breathing's really overrated. And I felt so much better, right? The pain was gone, and I just started to feel better. And so that was that moment, I guess you could say, of exhaling my last breath was not scary.
Wow.
Yeah. So and then after that is,
mm-hmm. Had you been feeling sick up until that point? Was this all connected with the Lyme disease that you were?
This was actually right after the treatment that I had. This was right after the treatment where the woman I told you was unlicensed practicing alternative medicine and mm-hmm. had hurt me. And okay. So it was after that I didn't feel well. I felt very bad. I didn't know what was wrong. And so I had Lyme disease 3 weeks prior. I had been bitten by the tick.
Okay.
And then I saw somebody for help who she ended up not helping me. Or maybe she did, depending on how you look at it. And that's when I had my experience.
Wow. So laying there, knowing that you took your last breath, feeling that mm-hmm. you were sort of in between two worlds, and how else can you describe what you were feeling?
Peaceful. It was really peaceful, really blissful in that moment, actually. So the next thing that happened, it was really just a series of events that kept unfolding, right? And so I didn't stay in one like, oh, this is blissful right away, but it was really just absolute peace. And I heard my heart stop beating, and then I heard, I didn't know it, but at the time I realized there's a buzzing sound. And I think that buzzing sound was my nervous system. And then that stopped. And then it got really peaceful. And that's when all the lights came on. That's when you start to see that really bright light, like kind of shining at your forehead at the point between your eyebrows. It just feels like, you know, 1,000 suns just shining at you. And that's when I went into that light. And then I had my life review, which maybe you've heard of, where you see all the moments of your life, of decision, and the way I would describe the life review, it's really, you know, the moments that I went into soul consciousness and did something from my soul, and the points that I did something out of ego. And I really saw the difference between that and the effects that that had on the people around me and the effect it had on me.
Wow. Now, yeah. I'm sure that there are a lot of people listening and saying, how would I know what was ego and what was soul consciousness? I mean, our listeners are at different levels of self-awareness, so.
Right. So I think, you know, it's really just when you're doing something, I would say when you're doing something good, because you're doing something good, not because someone's watching you, not because you're getting credit, not for any of those reasons, you're just acting out of love. You're just acting from your heart, right? And those are the moments that the universe is watching. Now, alternately, you can be acting out of, I would call it ego. Or, ego, out of self-advancement. And the universe is watching that too. And so if you're, you know, the biggest thing I took away from that is, actually I have a story for you. I was, of all the moments of my life until I was 29, you know, all the things that I did good and bad, it's really the one that I was bad that stuck with me. You know, the good moments were great, and I can tell you that the universe just showers you with ecstatic, eternal bliss and gratitude when you're experiencing that. And yet that's not really the message I came back to share. The message, the story that I have is the one I remember the most, actually, was when I was a little child. And I was about 4 years old in kindergarten, and I was standing in front of my parents' house, and I was with my friend Sherry. And Sherry saw some paw prints, dog paw prints, in the cement, and she started laughing at it. And this is what they're showing me in my life review. And in that moment, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was just being mean, as you know, we all know kids can be mean. Well, I was being mean, and I started yelling at her. I got really mad at her, and I started telling her, you know, how could you laugh at those paw prints? You know, that dog is dead, and the people inside are so hurt. And how would you feel if you died and everyone just laughed at you? And I mean, I'm just like 4 or 5 years old, and I'm just laying into her. And in my death experience, in my life review, first of all, I have no idea if that dog was dead, right? Because that was part of the meanness I was playing with at that young age. And when I experienced it again, I experienced that moment from her perspective as if I was her. So I'm watching me, right, in this experience, if you can imagine that. There's like me and her, but I'm experiencing it as her. And I'm watching her look at my face and think to herself, why is she being so mean? And just feeling the hurt I'm causing her. And at the same time, I'm experiencing it from God consciousness, right? Or the universe, or however you express God. But I would say I'm experiencing that moment as God was watching us at the same time. And so there's really this accountability that happens when you leave this world, of those moments when you're choosing to hurt somebody, choosing to be mean, even if you're only 4 or 5 years old.
Wow. So what were some of the other ways that you knew that these were things that were considered to be good deeds and in your soul consciousness and not coming from a place of ego? How did they feel different?
What's that?
How did they feel different?
Well, when I experienced, you know, that moment with Sherry, I experienced all her pain. And I experienced God's, if you call it God or the universe, I experienced a complete there was no judgment, but I saw myself. And I think that was the worst thing, was when you see who you're really being in that moment, like you'll punish yourself. And I felt horrible. In the other moment, it was really just, this, like I said, this infinite love and gratitude, and there's so much of it that you couldn't contain it in your human body. I mean, I would explode. You would explode if God tried to shower you with the amount of love and gratitude there is for all the good you do in the world. You wouldn't be able to contain it. And so it was so joyful and so ecstatic and so blissful and absolutely eternal. And you just soar in that love, almost
wow.
Becoming one with it. Yeah.
Were you feeling scared at all, like, about what was happening, or?
No, I wasn't. Isn't that funny? I was not scared at all. There was never a moment of fear. Even that moment where I decided to just let my breath fall, I wasn't scared.
And do you have any sense of how long that episode was? Is there any feeling that,
In my experience of it, because people have asked me, you know, how long, and because I wasn't in a hospital and no one was standing in the room with me the whole time, I have no idea, you know, in this world how long I was gone. I imagine just minutes. But in my experience of it, it was like 800 years in my experience.
Wow.
That I felt like I was gone. So I felt like I lived an entire, you know, life there. And by the time they told me I had to go back and help people, I could barely remember who Mariko was.
So when we think about, you know, them telling you to come back, who's them?
That's a good question. One I've been trying to answer for 17 years. And what I would say is they are limitless. It was like trying to describe something that's limitless and eternal and put it into a human word. And so some people might say, oh, they're your spirit guides or, you know, your spiritual teachers. I could tell you I felt four of them. And I've come to decide that, you know, because I've been asked that question so many times, who were they? I think the bigger question is, who would they be for you? When you leave this world, what is your spiritual path? What is your spiritual belief? And what is guiding you? Because I can give you answers And I don't even know if those answers satisfy me, because again, I keep trying to put limiting words on something that was an eternal, infinite experience, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's one of those things that you have to be there.
And so that's why I've been trying to describe like who they are and who they might be. They were absolute love. They were infinite love. If I had to give them a name, I would say they were infinite love. They knew everything about me. I knew everything about them, but it wasn't on a human level because I wasn't in a human body.
Right.
And so I would ask, you know, people, well, when you leave this world, you know, what are your spiritual beliefs? And I'm not talking about religion, but just, you know, where are you? Where are you on your spiritual path? Like what? Because the more important thing when you leave this world, you don't leave with any possessions, right? It's not about how much money you make. It's not about a status or any of that, because all of that literally ceases to exist once you leave this world. There's no more money. There's no the word doesn't exist. The concept does not exist. It's the spiritual advancement, right? How did you share your gifts in the world? What did you learn, right? That's what you take with you. And so I would say everything in the afterlife is a reflection of that. What spiritual work did you do while you're here? Spiritual work, you could be working in a grocery store and just showing kindness to everybody all day. You know, you don't have to be in a monastery. You don't have to be a monk. It really is just what spiritual progress you made.
So you were gifted when you came back with the assignment on your life, and that's the language that you use now when you're working with others. And what was your specific assignment?
So when I was just soaring in that infinite bliss, where I said it felt like I'd already been there for like 800 years, and I was having this moment of realizing I am love. I'm home. I'm me. I'm who I'm supposed to be. And then I heard this voice say, "You have to go back. It's not your time, right? You have to go back and help people." And I was really resistant. Actually, I said no. And it took them 3 times for me to agree. And so it wasn't like they gave me this assignment on my life, this assignment on my soul in words, in human words that said, you're going to go do this and that, right? It wasn't that clear. I've kind of joked that they didn't send me back with a marketing plan and a website, right? They sent me back. That would have been so much easier. I literally had to unpack what they gave me, because I would say I got downloaded, because that was part of my experience, was it felt like I was being downloaded for a long time. And it felt like when I came back, I didn't have words to express what just happened. In fact, I didn't start talking about it until fairly recently. Really, this year is the first year I've been so public about it. And I would say that I spent many, many years very sick, right? After I came back, I was not jumping out of bed, okay, I'm going to go do the work I'm meant to do. It was like chasing after the person I was meant to be for a decade, and just illness after illness, you know, one thing after another. But what I realized was that decade, it was actually a little longer than a decade, but they were having me live through all the things that I needed to become to be the person that can do the work I'm here to do. And I had to live through every moment knowing that there was an assignment on my soul, that I was here to do something, but I couldn't put my finger on what that was. And that feeling inside, right, that I'm here for more. The clock is running out. You know, I'm only here for however long I'm here. And I have no idea what this is to do, but I can't leave this world without doing it. And it's funny because as I got well, right, and it took a long time to really get my health back, and even now I still have to be careful with what I eat and different things, but now, and then when I was sick, what happened was I would have conversations with people. And I had no idea I had any gift. I had no idea what was going on. But I would start to just talk to a friend, and I would say, oh, you should do this, and you should do that. And I would just start seeing what they should do in life. And we would just be having these casual conversations. And I started to notice that our conversations would start to happen. And I was like, that's interesting. And then eventually it happened with a client, and it became so obvious that I went, oh, my gosh, this is what they sent me back to do. This is how I meant to help. But that it did not come like the minute I came back. It was well over a decade.
Well, I'm so glad that you have finally been able to wrap your arms around that gift, because it is a beautiful gift. And I can certainly speak to, you know, having about 5 years of feeling like you're being on, you know, you've already stepped onto the conveyor belt. It's like being at the airport. You stepped onto the conveyor belt that's taking you towards your destination for your airplane. And once you're in the groove, you can't get off, but mm-hmm. you could walk forward and go faster, mm-hmm. but you don't know exactly where the terminal is. and it's like this tractor beam is pulling you forwards, and yet on the sides, you can't really see. It's just sort of cloudy and it's not clear. And so having a guide who will be able to give you the level of detailed clarity that you were able to give me is truly a gift. And to be able to speak, you know, very specifically about the how and the what, and the languaging and all of those pieces, for the listeners, it's really intriguing. Okay, so we talked a little bit about what's it like to die. How are you living differently now, knowing what's on the other side?
It's funny because if I could just tap everybody on the shoulder and give them a glimpse of it, I would say live fearlessly, live full out the assignment on your soul, don't hesitate, you know, and yet I still struggle with that, right? It's not always easy, because I would say that the assignment on your soul is going to be out of your comfort zone every moment of every day, right? If you're always in your comfort zone, you probably could do more. And I feel like that, even though I know it, it's hard for me too, because I'm always living out of my comfort zone. Even the people I work with, right? I work with a lot of business owners and leaders and entrepreneurs. And when I came back, I kept seeing a room full of professionals. And at the time, I was practicing alternative healing. So that was like, and I was a rock climber. So that was the last, you know, that was the last thing on my mind. I didn't know those people. And I thought, how am I going to go find those people? But everything about your life is so precious, and you want to stay here as long as possible. You know, that's something I'd really like to reiterate, because I know that with COVID, the suicide rate's up and there's a lot going on. And I would say that you are meant to stay on this earth as long as possible. Don't cut it short, because you have an assignment on your soul, and you need to do everything you can to complete that. Now, the biggest thing everyone can do, even if you don't know what it is, especially if you don't know what it is just inwardly say yes. Just almost like a mantra, yes, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Whatever the assignment on my soul is, whatever you want me to do, universe, I'll do it. Start with that. If you're in total confusion and, you know, you don't have any clarity, but you feel like you're meant to do something more, just say yes.
Mm. I love that. I very often in the work that I do, I mean, I've done, you know, workshops, I very often in the summer will have a day camp for adults. Mm. I mean, all the kids are going to camp and having fun. Why not the women as well? So yeah. The last one I did was women. It was a one-day event, and it was about rediscovering your purpose. And I say rediscovering because I think deep inside we know what it is. It's kind of like Michelangelo and the carving, you know, the statue, the beautiful statue is already inside the rock. You just have to peel off all the unnecessary layers to get back down to the basics and get, you know, to that beautiful essence within. And so what I very often start with is, what is it that brings you the most joy? Mm-hmm. And I do that because I had a period about 6 years ago now, which is what led me to Reiki. I had that period where I'd burned out because I was doing the wrong kind of work, and it was not nourishing my soul, and it was with the wrong kind of people. And in one particular episode, I was doing some HR consulting work, and I delivered a harassment report to an executive VP. And I remember giving it to him, you know, the top floor, big office, massive boardroom, and delivering my report, which I'd worked so hard on for about the last 3 weeks, after interviewing, you know, everybody that was involved in this complaint, delivered my report, and he barely looked at the executive summary, opened the cover, barely looked at it, and said, you know, that's, you know, thank you for this work, and we've decided that we're going to do this. And it was completely the opposite direction for what my professional recommendation was. And having spent, you know, 20 years in senior HR roles, not to have that listened to, it was, you know, kind of like getting kicked in the, you know, kicked in the stomach. And it was like, okay, this, you know, this is it, enough, you know. It's great to be chasing these big contracts with, you know, well-paid contracts, but it's not feeding my soul. And I took, you know, 3 months off, and I went looking for joy. And then realized that it was actually all around me all the time. I was just moving way too fast to be able to see it and to be able to touch it and grab it. And it really was a period of, you know, that reflection of, you know, what is it that I need to really focus on, which are my gifts, the things I enjoy the most, the things that, as my friend Linda Mers says, the things I cannot not do. Like, it's a compulsion, you know? I have to. Like, if I hear about a woman who's struggling with something, I can't just say, oh, sorry, can't help you. You know, I have to offer something, you know? And it's usually posed in coaching, you know? Obviously, it's not telling, it's asking. It's usually posed in the form of a question. You know, what have you done so far? What have you considered? Or what, you know, what feels good right now? Or, you know, what's making this awkward or difficult, or, you know, questions to help them see for themselves what their truth is and their next step needs to be. But joy is a great piece. So in your case, it's saying yes. In my case, it's what brings you the most joy. And just start there.
Just start. So,
just start. Yeah, just take the first step. You don't have to, I think it's Oprah says, you know, you don't have to see the whole path. You just have to take the first step.
Well, and that's part of living out That's part of living, that's part of living out of your comfort zone. A lot of people don't want to start until they have a guarantee that it's going to work out. And that's not how the universe works. You have to walk in faith. You have to put one foot in front of the other and say, yes, I will live the assignment on my life, on my soul, no matter what. Right. And just have faith that it's good and it's going to help people. And that's the other component that you and I both, I think, haven't mentioned yet is it's about service. It's not about, you know, ultimately, if I had the universe my way, if I had the world my way, all businesses would be about service. It would be about helping advance people and helping advance, you know, the environment or whatever it is. But it would not be about money. It would be about helping people. And when your heart is centered in how can I serve, how can I make this world better, how can I make someone's life better, you know, the law of reciprocity kind of jumps into play and you can become abundant that way. But it can't be the first thing on your mind.
Yeah. Well, there was a few different organizations that I looked at recently and have guests lined up for this fall. One lady that I ran across that I still have to connect with was working in hospices and dealing with a lot of pediatric cases. And she found that the one thing that was the bright spot in these little souls' lives who had no hair, you know, by this time the treatment of chemo has meant all their hair has fallen out. The bright spot was to give them a headband. And they were all different kinds, the different little pretty ones, and it just put such a smile on their face and gave them a sense of identity, and self-worth was raised, and they were happier. And so she came up with this concept of headbands for hope. And so now it is a business that is an entrepreneurial venture, and yet it started with this place of service, as you say. And, you know, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about, and I've referenced this before on my shows, you know, coming from that place of giving back, or not giving back, but paying it forward with something that is greater than just yourself. So what's the legacy that you can leave after your soul is gone. And as you said, it's not only about making money. I mean, it has to be something that is able to support you so that you're giving from your overflow. And yet it can so easily be a social enterprise. And those are the interviews that I enjoy the most, when it's a woman who has a social enterprise mission. I mean, in my business, with my best-selling book, for everyone that's purchased, I'm donating one to a women's shelter foundation or not-for-profit. In stacks of 10, so it's not, you know, one. And that is so heartwarming, to be able to, you know, give a stack of books to a foundation and know that they're going to the people that need them. And one even came full circle, where I had someone reach out to me the other day on Facebook, and she was just about to launch her course. She'd written her book, and she realized when we were talking and I talked about my best-selling book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, she's like, oh, I have that on my nightstand. That's the book. That's one of the books that I came across when I was in a bad place, and it helped me to step my language up and to change things up. And now she's come full circle, and she's out about to launch her own book. And it was just such a cool story. So cool.
Wow.
Gave me goosebumps.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. See, and none of that has to do with money. None of it. It's just serving and helping and changing lives. And yes, you know, the money follows that. But it's, you know, ultimately, I think businesses should be, if I had it my way, I would love to see business owners aligning the work they do with the work their soul is here to do.
Well, I think that's what you are doing, right? When you know, that was going to be one of my questions is, you know, why do you work with businesses, or how do you work with businesses? So can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. So, you know, it's funny, I didn't mean to. Again, when I came back, I saw a room full of business leaders, and I was intimidated by them. I was not, you know, like I said, I was living in the mountains. I was an avid rock climber. I was into alternative healing. I didn't know any professionals, and I really resisted that because I didn't understand, you know, the assignment on my own soul, what I was meant to do. And as I became more aware of it, I went, oh, okay, I get it. So, you know, I work with business owners. I work with people that don't have businesses either, but are just in management, you know, and I work with some professional athletes as well, as you mentioned. And it's really people who, the way I see it, is I work with people who have a bigger reach than me. And so I love to reach those people who can reach more people. Because when I leave this world, I know for sure one of the things I'm meant to do is help a lot of people. Well, I can't go, you know, I don't have a huge reach on my own, but if I help you who has a bigger reach, and then you help more people, right? Mm-hmm. And so on and so forth. And so I think that's why when I work with people who are, there's two reasons. One, working with people that have a bigger reach, they can then go do more good in the world. And I feel like that's such an important key. And then the other reason is, you know, I've taught meditation and spoken, you know, given spiritual talks and things like that, and done retreats. And with everyone I've taught, you know, I think for thousands of years we've known, you know, you should meditate more. you should be in prayer and meditation. We know those things. And yet we live in a very human world where that's great. I would love to meditate, but, you know, people are thinking, well, I also have to pay my bills. I also have to put food on my table. I have to pay for my kids' college, right? And so there's a very practical, like, well, I would love to sit and meditate all day and become spiritual and become enlightened, but I also have some things I have to do, right? And what I love is aligning the two to where every moment of every day, every breath is in service to the universe, God, however you put that, right? And if you can align that with abundance, I've noticed my clients do say, you know what, I am taking more time, and I am, you know, in prayer, I am in meditation, I am, you know, doing the things that I tell them to do, because it aligns their soul with the service they're here to do, aka their business, and everything starts to get into flow where it's not, you know, I'm having this human experience, and then on Sundays, I go to church and I'm spiritual, or Wednesday night yoga class, right? It's no, every moment of every day, every breath is an expression of who you really are as a soul. And I love aligning that, you know, helping people align that so they're not separate.
Yeah. Well, I hear you in that, because we do live such busy lives. And very often with coaching, one of the first things that I end up doing with my clients is, creating space so that we have an empty space to work together. So very often with women, I liken it to when you walk into your closet and it's jam-packed, so full with stuff, some of which doesn't fit anymore, it's not a good color for you, it's ripped or whatever. And so it's really about taking out the unnecessary, creating some space between the hangers so we can actually see what we've got. And then we can step into what are those things that are really in alignment with who you are, your gifts, the things that bring you the most joy, and then let's accelerate that. And I just, in my last monthly book club, one of the books we looked at, the last one, was actually called How the World Sees You by Sally Hogshead. And what she was saying was, you know, be more of who you already are. Find those unique things and then advance them, accelerate them, repeat them, so that that becomes your branding for who you are. And don't be less of it. Be more of who you are and create almost an exaggeration. Because it's so, so important to stand out and be unique and be uniquely you, because your gifts are going to be different than mine. And yet that common thread is about service. So it's great that you're taking on important clients, clients that, as you say, have a bigger reach than you do. And I just want to give out that number again. So sometimes we have shy listeners and they need the number one or two times. So again, the number, if you're thinking, oh, I've got a burning question I want to ask, is the dial-in number is 1-888-627-6008. With a question for Mariko or myself, or 701-719-4207. So we're also talking about perspectives. We're talking about businesses. And we're talking about aligning with our higher purpose and aligning with higher profits. So speak to me a little bit about that work with entrepreneurs. How can we align a higher purpose with higher profits?
You know, I think it's really about, again, service, right? Aligning what your soul is here to do, who you're here to help, what your message is, and then having a strategy and a system behind it, right? And so for you, that system is coaching. There is a way for us to thank you, to give back to you. And a lot of times, you know, especially in modern society, the way that we give thanks, the way that we give back to another person is through money, is through saying, hey, let me pay you something. And so it really is about saying, how can I serve the world in a greater way? What am I really here to do? Who are the people I'm here to serve, a.k.a. your target market, right? Who are you really here to serve? Who, as Susie Carter says, our coach, you know, you want to work with people that love and adore you and you love and adore them. And I love that. And then having a system behind that, a business system and a strategy. So it's not just, you know, hoping and wishing and saying, well, I really want to help these people and, you know, not knowing how to find them or allowing them to find you, but really creating a business model around what you're here to do. And that really is how to turn your purpose into higher profits, is to say, this is my purpose, this is my passion. You know, the one thing that you touched on, and I'll put it in another way, you know, you said, do what brings you joy. I always tell my clients, what would you do for free all day long if you could do it for free? Because chances are, what you're meant to do, you're already doing it. You just don't realize it because, you know, I think of our purpose, and I've seen it so many times that I just, it's absolutely true for me. You know when you, like, you're late and you're kind of stressed out and you can't find your keys and you're just rushing around the house and you're just getting more and more anxious because you're stressed out and you can't find your keys, and then all of a sudden you look at your hand and you're like, ah, they're in my hand the whole time. Well, that's what I feel like people are doing when they're trying to find their purpose. What business should I do? What should I do? What should I do? It's like, slow down and look at what you already have, because the key is probably in your hand, right? The sunglasses are on your head.
And all the sunglasses,
it's already on your head. The keys are in your hand. You're ready to go. The universe has actually thought this out ahead of time and has prepared you for what you're meant to do. It's just we're so busy being busy that we don't take a minute to go, wait, maybe the universe is, you know, a little wiser than me And maybe the universe had it all figured out. And maybe everything I need and everything about who I am is enough. Just maybe.
Yeah.
And so when you look at your life that way, it more opportunities open up, right?
Mm-hmm. I very often with my clients talk about the metaphor of the pond. You know, if you're running around in a pond, you're just so busy. All you're doing is muddying up the water at the bottom. And once you actually stop and stand still and take time for that deep breath, that meditation, that day in the country, and let the waters around you, your feet, settle and stop muddying it up by all that activity, you can actually have clarity. You can see right through the bottom because you stopped and stood still.
Yes.
And it's just such a, just such an important concept, because if we have no space, then there's no way to create something new and better. The other thing is, as you said, it's about the alignment piece. So when I'm working with a client and we can work on something that helps them to do what they were going to do anyway with purpose and with the learnings identified, we're not making more work for them. We're actually helping them to be more purposeful and live more closely in alignment. And so they're doing the same amount of activity. They're just doing it in a different way and having a much, much different outcome. So it's important. And then you talk about becoming unlimited. How can people listening become unlimited?
It's really almost like an epiphany, because you already are unlimited. We live in... So our limitations are that we live in a human consciousness. And so as humans, we are limited. As spiritual beings, you're unlimited already. And that's the essence of who you are when you leave this world. You know, the thing I realized was, wow, I'm not Mariko. I'm not a rock climber. I'm not male or female. I'm not a human person. I am this infinite soul. The epiphany hits right away. As soon as you leave, you're like, wow, this is who I really am. I've always been this way. I'm always going to be this way, right? And it's so much fun, because you just realize, wow, I have everything I needed. But in our world, in our limited human consciousness, we have limiting beliefs, right? And so we believe that things are hard. We believe money is hard to come by, right? And it's just a limiting belief, because when you leave this world, you realize abundance is your divine right. You are allowed as much abundance in any category that you want, especially when you're doing good, right? Especially when you're not misusing your gifts. Abundance of music, right? We don't worry that we're going to run out of music. We don't worry that we're going to run out of art. But that is part of creative energy, and that is part of abundant energy. And yet we worry that we're going to run out of money. And so what we do is we put that creative energy of money, that abundant energy of money, we put it in a cage, we lock the door, and we tell ourselves it's hard to get to. And we don't do the same thing with poetry and art, and yet it's all creative abundant energy. And so how we become limitless is to realize who you are as a soul, because once you realize who you are and that you are a soul, you literally tap into that infinite abundant energy that's all around you. And so I would say you don't have to become limitless. You already are. You just have to realize it.
Mm. So thinking about some of my past experiences, I mean, I was in the corporate world for 20 years, mostly working with startups, but also, my last full-time role was working as a VP of client services within a corporate global talent management firm. And working, even though it was consulting, which is a lot more creative, when you think about that corporate room full of people, what's the bridge of what you know to where they're at right now in that sort of, scarcity mindset? I'm not sure if I'm going to have a job next week. What's the bridge that people could maybe take their first step to better understanding some of this magical work that you do?
Honestly, they should probably read your book. I mean, so much. go read Yvonne's book. So much of it is about the words we use for or against ourselves. And so again, it's that. And I know you work a lot with words. right?
Yep.
And words, our thoughts, our words create our reality. So if you want to sit in the doom and gloom and say, I don't know if I'm going to have a job, and oh my God, things are so hard, you're going to create a lot of that. And then you got to live with the consequences of your words and your thoughts. And so the first thing I would tell people who are maybe worried, they might be burnt out, they might just be, you know, in a lack mindset. 2020 has really pulled a lot of people into lack mindset because it's just all around, right? That fear, fear, fear message out there. And I would say step out of that conversation. And if you can't get into a conversation with somebody else who's got an abundant mindset, read a book that puts you into an abundant mindset. Listen to podcasts that put you into an abundant mindset. You know, it doesn't take a huge community. It just takes a community of one. And that's why, you know, if your book provides that for people where they shift their language, their internal language, then do that. Because it doesn't matter if you're in a room full of champions who have an amazing mindset. If you're not doing the work for yourself, then you're not going to get very far. And so you want to surround yourself with as much possibility as you can, and that means people who have already done the work and who are already speaking that language of abundance and belief. And so it really does come down to belief, but you have to believe in yourself first.
Yeah, and that is part of what I tell the corporate clients that I'm working with. Is, you know, the best way, if you're worried about, you know, whether or not you're going to have a job, the best way to stay employed is to keep current on your skills so that you are the very best version of yourself. And be really clear on what is it that you bring to the table. How are you adding value right now? And be able to speak to that, to be able to quantify it. So, you know, here's how you brought in some new customers. Here's how you saved the company some money, you know. Make sure that you can quantify those things, not just for your next resume, but to be able to speak proudly about the fact that you added a ton of value. So you know that at your soul, and then it comes out in your level of confidence when you're speaking about what you're looking for next, and get really clear on what that ideal job is so that you can then see it when it comes. It's like making a decision. You want to buy a red rodeo or a yellow Ferrari, whatever it might be. As soon as you've made that decision, your activating system starts showing you more red Ravs or yellow Ferraris because you know, it's important information and your brain is now filtering it in for you. Or you want to become pregnant. All you see is pregnant women everywhere. It's not because the world has gone, turned crazy about making babies. It's because you're reticular activating system is there to serve you, to help you identify those opportunities and see things in a new way. And I'm pretty sure that there'll be lots of listeners seeing things today in a new way after hearing you talk about your experience. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your gifts and sharing your wisdom and your experience, your story. And I also understand that, you know, I always like to offer my guests the opportunity to share something else because, you know, people that are listening, that are intrigued and want to keep in touch, what did you bring for a gift for the listeners?
You know, I have something that's kind of fun on my website available for all of your listeners, and it's the top five mistakes I see people making over and over and over when they're trying to find their purpose. And so I gave you one of them, which is the key is already in your hand. And right. I go a little bit deeper into each one, but you are welcome to go grab that on my website, soulpriority.com. And it's absolutely free. And I think it'll just start sparking ideas for people. And that's really why I put it out there. I'm one that loves to get to the end right away, right? If I can give you all the answers right away and go, here you go, that's what I want to do. And so a lot of people, it's just taking a look at the mistakes everyone around you is making, but you're just not talking about it, right? Not everybody knows.
No,
so I just wanted to put that out there so that here's what you know, and maybe here's what you should go, you know, think about doing about it.
Okay. So Soul Priority, S-O-U-L, priority.com is Mariko's website. You can also check out there. She has a media kit if you need a fantastic speaker who can connect the dots and help you to look at your life a little differently, to start thinking about that business connection as well. Obviously, she has a really intriguing story, not forgettable, that's for sure. So I want to thank you for bringing your whole self and your future self, your soul self, to the conversation today. It's been really intriguing. I've really enjoyed having you as a guest. And to start wrapping the show up, and if you are listening today, didn't have a chance to ask your question, didn't have a pen that worked, whatever it was, I'm sure that you can also feel free to connect with Mariko either through her website or track her down on LinkedIn or Facebook. I'm sure she'd be happy to connect with you. So wrapping up this interview, I hope you've enjoyed as much as I have today's episode of the Words, Women, and Wisdom radio show. Don't forget, if you haven't already, subscribe to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show and podcast on iTunes and leave us a rating and a review within iTunes, because we want to be able to read every single one of those. I mean, it helps other people find the show. We don't charge anything for you to listen to these informative or inspirational shows. So one small favor we ask of you is that you'll leave some sort of rating or review and share the replay with your friends and colleagues. We really do appreciate that. And if you're looking for more help and support as a female entrepreneur, as you grow your business, whatever stage you're at, or as a professional woman, as you grow into your highest potential, remember that you can check out some of my free tools and gifts as well, which are in the red box on my webpage at Words, Women, and Wisdom, and it's spelled out A-N-D versus an ampersand, wordswomenandwisdom.com. And I have a ton of free resources there to help you elevate your confidence. So check it out, wordswomenandwisdom.com, and connect with me as well, either on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter, and be in the know about the upcoming amazing interviews and events that I'm sharing. All right, my friends, I hope you will join me the next time on the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. And thank you again so much, Mariko Frederick, for joining us today and sharing your beautiful story. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Have a beautiful day, everybody.